Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful weather you've given us. It just puts a smile on everybody's face and a skip in their walk when we have that sunshine and warm weather. Get a lot of work done outside, too, Father. Thank you, Lord, for allowing this avenue of fellowship for us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that tonight your anointing is going to be upon us. You're going to lead us and guide us into the things that you'd like for us to talk about. And Lord, I just praise you for being able to talk with you and my brothers and sisters. It's just an awesome experience, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, when we get away from our regular routine, we seem to get caught up in the world and the flesh and things go awry, but I know that you always bring us back around and bring us back to you, Father, and I just praise you for all the things that you're doing with each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished tonight, too, because I know it's going to be good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay. I may got to find my... If we got any prayer requests, let me get my notebook. What I do with it? Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I am under the gun today. It's like the attacks have been coming, and I started a fast last night, yesterday, and I have a splitting headache today for whatever reason.
You ready to give it back?
Yep.
Okay. Jesus, right now, we come against that headache and all the symptoms that the enemy is trying to put on him to make him stop this fast, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to have perseverance in this, because you're the king. You're the one that's in authority, not the enemy. And Father, we thank you that Pat has the victory by the blood of Jesus. We command that pain to go from his head right now. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that it is accomplished in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 I receive it.
Do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
We command that coffee withdrawal to go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You didn't drink a Mountain Dew too, did you?
I'm not a Mountain Dew fan.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Sticking pretty close to water now. Thank you.
I got you. Yeah. Amen. That looks like champagne there.
Water.
Oh, okay. That's what I said to you. Go ahead, Missy. Unless you got something else, Pat.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
my boy's pap passed away, I think it was Saturday, early Saturday morning, and I'm sure he's with the Lord. The Lord gave me a good word for him by random, and from 6 to 8 today is the viewing, and then tomorrow is the funeral. So I'd like to pray for my boys and all their relatives, and for their Graham. Father, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers, Lord, for Rod, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for granting him repentance unto salvation, and that he entered the gates, and he's with you now, Lord, and he's in his peace and joy, Lord. And we just ask you to comfort his wife, Sue, Lord, my boy's Graham. And Lord, bring her into the kingdom too, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Believe that you will do that. And I just ask you to comfort my boys and all the other relatives, Lord. This is the closest relative they've had, especially as adults when things like this, I think, hit you a little harder. They were a good bit younger when their great-grandfather passed away, and and their other grandmother. But Father, I just ask you to comfort everyone's hearts, and that everyone would think about their mortality, Lord, and know that they're not always going to live. You know, they don't know how long they have on this earth, Lord, and you have numbered their days, and you know what they are, Lord, and just ask you to use this to bring salvation to others in the family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We all believe with him. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Michael, I just need some prayer. Last couple of days at work, I've been under a lot of stress, and to the point that I actually blew up at my supervisor today and my team leader. So I just need some prayer that the rest of the week will go smoothly and it won't be very stressful at all.
Amen. Well, Father, we lift up Matt to you. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to be in the rest. I thank you, Lord, for placing peace in his heart and joy. And Father, we thank you that the rest of the week is going to go smoothly for him, because he knows that that you have him in in your hands, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you have placed a heart in that peace that you always want us to be in. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Matt. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. Okay, anybody else?
Michael, we can't hardly hear you.
Why not?
I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, maybe I need to get closer to my mic. But when I do that, you can't see me, so it's one or the other. You'd probably rather hear me than see me anyway.
I can hear you pretty good.
Judy's shaking her head. Okay, I'm going to put the mic right here in front of me. Can you hear me now? All right. I'm like CBS News, man. Oh, no, not CBS, maybe Fox. Yeah, go ahead,
Dan. Yeah. I'd like to share about our prayer for our daughter, Victory. Okay. She's due in April 29th, she's having a C-section. And she hasn't been able to work, but the father of Katmai has been helping her. Well, now she has filed for child support, and so he's mad. And he's not going to help anymore now. He's not going to help her even watch the baby right now. The past job she did have, they've hired her back several times. It's a phone thing, and she does really well at that. So they're back this week to work. And so it's on spring break, so Jonah is with Evan, his father. And but now she's down to what to do to watch, have someone watch Katmai. She has a friend coming tomorrow, just for the rest of the week, so it might work out. But it's just that there's a lot going on that's really hard for her right now. And so I suggested to her, I said, oh, good. If he doesn't care about really seeing Katmai because they got to pay child support, well, that'll, you don't have to worry about him caring if you came here whenever God would open that door. And she's like, yeah, well, I don't know. And she's kind of undecided what to do. So I just would pray for her for now, for what's going on right now. And we prayed for her over the phone. She was real appreciative of it, for God to open doors. We told her to just cry out to God, get on your knees and cry out to him for your life and the life of your children. And God will answer you. So, yes.
And probably the biggest decision, she's talking about giving up the new baby because she just won't be able to take care of it. So, so she's in that, you know, do I keep the baby, but I can't get a job and work if I keep the baby. And so, anyway. Okay. Well, Father, we praise you. We just praise you for, thank you for victory, Lord. And we know that she has the victory in you. And we just trust you, Lord, for her future, for these, especially the next couple of few months, God. We just trust that you're going to take care of her, Lord Jesus. Especially, Lord, that you'll build that relationship with her, Father, and she'll come to know you intimately and personally and be able to trust you. And so help her in this, Father, to call upon you and trust you, Lord, to rest in that trust, Lord. And just we thank you for that. We do ask you to provide for her. Give her the right decision with this new baby, Father. Just thank you and just help her with Jonah and Katmai. We just thank you, Father. We're just looking to you, God. We thank you.
Lord, thank you,
Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, God, for bringing provision to her, Lord. Amen, God, Lord, and showing her which way to go, Lord. Showing her the road she should take, Lord. Help her to truly seek you with her whole heart, Father, to cast herself upon you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe with you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I just wanted to pray a bit more there for victory. And then I had a prayer request regarding Chad and Charity. Lord, I just pray for victory, that you're going to make your will her desire, that you will confirm your will and your way unto her about this baby. And Lord, it could be that you have the well, we're trusting and believing, Father, that if you do want this baby given up for adoption, that you're going to get it to the right home. It's going to be a home where the baby is loved and that the baby is nurtured in the foundation of the gospel and the love of Jesus. So, Lord, I do pray for victory, that you'll put her heart at rest, that as she casts this care upon you from the depths of her heart, that you're going to just really pour out a spirit of peace upon her, and you're going to guard her heart and her mind through Christ Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you do all things well. You're going to work this out. And it'll be to your glory, and it'll be what's best for that baby. And Lord, also, I'd like to pray for Chad and Charity, and maybe if we can pray in the spirit here in a minute. Lord, you know that we've prayed for them quite a bit over the last year, and that Chad's been in a deep, dark, hard place for a long, long, long time. And Lord, Charity and I have been praying the last couple of days, and you've opened a door. And we had prayed that the door would only be opened if that's what you wanted for Chad, and it's that it would be get him onto the road to recovery and reconciliation with Christ. Lord, that we just cast down all the lying, deceiving spirits that have been attacking him and speaking through him for a long time here, and controlling him and manipulating him and those around him. And we cast all of these down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, if this is the place that you want Chad to go, and where you will minister to him and where you will meet him. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened that door, and you're going to make your will Chad's desire, that you're going to put it on his heart to want to go, and to, Lord, just whatever it takes. I'm not even going to say anything else, just that you will confirm your will and your way unto him, Lord, if it be your will to give him a dream or a word or just what, however you would do it, Lord, but you're going to make him want to go, and that he's going to open the door to Jesus. And Lord, we're just trusting and believing. We've been trusting and believing for a long time here that you're going to, that he is saved to the uttermost, that he is just, he's fully restored to the body of Christ. You have a good plan for his life, and that you're working both to will and to do your good pleasure in his life. And so, Lord, I just thank you and praise you. And Lord, if we could pray in the spirit, and that way it's just perfect prayers for Chad, and also for Charity, Lord, as she presents this, that you're going to give her grace and boldness and discernment and courage. Lord, I know that you strengthened her in a mighty way on Saturday night, and I thank you and praise you for that, and that is still manifesting. And Lord, that I thank you that you've delivered her from worry and anxiety. I just thank you and praise you for the really great work and the real deliverance that you gave her through our prayers and on Saturday night. So, Lord, I'm encouraged, and I thank you in advance for answering our prayers. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I just ask that you pray through us in the spirit for Chad and Charity. Gloria a lot of corazón de la bocciate. Mala bocciata del corazón de la bocciate. Ay, si la que tía te de la bocciante. Mala bocciata del corazón de la bocciante. Mala bocciata del corazón de la. Praise you, Father. Lord, you're an awesome God, and I know you're working in Chad right now to bring him home. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that all that you're doing, just like Marilyn was talking about, is for his good. And Father, we thank you for bringing him to that point where he will listen. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Father. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. I believe it's done. Thank you, Jesus. Did you raise your hand, Joe? Okay. You moved your hand. That's what it was. Hey, go ahead, Dave.
I was going to just say a quick prayer for a guy's wife at work. So I don't know what the thing is. He was telling me about it. I saw him last week, and I'm kind of busy since then, but his wife is losing feeling. I don't know. She has some kind of a nerve thing going on where she's losing feeling in her body. So her nerves are getting killed off somehow. So I just wanted to offer prayer for that. Her name is Libby Gedkin, and she's probably, you know, mid-30s, getting towards the late 30s. So Father, thank you for, I told Chuck too that we pray for him. Thank you for allowing Chuck to open up about his wife a little bit and having some issues with her nerves. And I don't see Chuck too often, and he's a good brother, a good heart. No, he's not spirit-filled, but, you know, someday we all hope we all can desire that and not fight against it. So, Father, thank you for hearing our prayer. I don't know what this problem is with Libby, what the deal is, but, Lord, we come together and we cast this down in the name of Jesus. We command that whatever that infirmity is or demon, whatever is behind that, that has to go now in the name of Jesus. And if there's some repentance there, Father, bring it on Libby's heart, whatever it might be. And this is a Christian couple, Father. They call on your name and they believe in the blood of Jesus and the sacrifices. And Chuck, good man for that too. And we're just come alongside Chuck and believing for him and his wife that this is Jesus. Believe in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe, Lord. We believe. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Go ahead, Judy.
Michael, would you pray for my teeth, especially my right side? They've had fillings that's come out, and I know the Lord's got it covered, but the right's a little tender right now.
Okay. Well, Father, we just lift up those chompers that Judy has, Lord, and we thank you, Father, that you have redone every one of them. We command porcelain on all of those fillings where all of those fillings fell out. We thank you, Lord, that she's got a brand new set, permanent set. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We command all pain to leave, all discomfort to leave in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, she's got a bright white smile now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. She can eat steaks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, I pray that you would fill those teeth with tooth, Lord, instead of some other filling, but you put tooth there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, that porcelain. Are teeth made out of porcelain or something like that?
Real tooth.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Enamel.
Oh, yeah.
Enamel.
Okay. Well, scratch the porcelain, Lord, and put enamel in there in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
We can do that.
He can do anything.
Yes. Absolutely, he can. Thank you, Lord. You feel better now, don't you, Judy?
Absolutely.
Amen.
I'm healed.
Yes, you are. Praise God. Hi, Sue. All right, anyone else? On this little old laptop I've got, each one of your squares are about a half. Well, it's about 3/4 of an inch square. And it's taxing, but I can see it. I've got great eyes. So you may have to speak up sometime.
I just looked up the scripture. It says, "Behold, I am the Lord that brought you out of Egypt, and open your mouth wide, and I will fill it."
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did you hear that, Judy? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got a testimony or praise report? Yeah, go ahead, Missy. Like I said, it's hard to see those things sometimes. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay. This morning I was really asking the Lord about them. And he had shown this to me before, and I thought I had gotten delivered and healed. Maybe it was just temporary. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I get these as a lot of you know, I get these headaches where I have these muscle knots in my back and I get headaches and everything from it. And so I was asking the Lord about this morning, and because I'm like tired of it, you know? And so I asked him if it was a spirit that needed to be cast out, and he gave me a yes. And then and I'm like thinking, what? And what came to me was spirit of infirmity. So I asked him, and he said, yes, there's that. And I asked him it was a spirit of if it was condemnation, and he gave me a yes, because that's what he had, I believe that he had told me before. Anyway, so I felt to look up infirmity on Vine's expository dictionary, and I ran across the verse. It's Luke 13:11, and that's where it talks about the woman that was bowed over for 18 years, and the Lord said it was a spirit of infirmity, you know. And I had forgotten that's, you know, that point, that it was a spirit of infirmity. And I read that and I was just like, wow, you know. And before the Lord had shown me that this condemnation is like this heavy load on my back, you know. And that just made perfect sense. You know, this woman, you know, she was bowed over, you know, and, but anyway, so I was just like, wow. And so I was praying, and, you know, and I asked the Lord if I needed to, myself. Oh, another thing I asked him was, is this condemnation a generational curse? And he told me yes on that too. So, and I asked him, you know, if there was anything I needed to repent of as far as that goes, you know, me condemning and criticizing and stuff like that myself. And he gave me a no, but I wanted to cover all bases. Even though he told me no, I was just like, I'm gonna, Lord, you know, help me to keep my tongue and correct my mind and not be critical or judging or anything like that or condemning towards anybody. And anyway, so I was praying, and I commanded, I broke the generational curse. I told the spirit of infirmity to go, and I told spirit of condemnation to go, and I just covered all those bases. And it was like, as soon as I got done, all of a sudden I went, and like, it was like I had this big yawn. That was just like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that at all. And I knew that I was delivered. And I was just like, wow, I just praise you. Thank you, Lord, you know? And then the Lord impressed upon me to go and read in Romans 6. That's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is Romans 6. And when I got to this one part here, find it. I'm trying to see here where, I don't know exactly where it was, but it was in within these verses here. Let me see here. Romans 6, I think like 16. Starting at 16. Know ye not that to whom you present yourselves servants unto obedience, his servants you are, whom ye obey, whether of sin or death, unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants to sin, ye become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. And I think it was like right there. And then all of a sudden I had this other yawn. you know, and when I, and it was just like, and then it was just like, I just like all this, I had this yawn and all of a sudden these tears just started, tears of joy just started running down my cheeks. And so the Lord is just really good. I just praise you and thank you, Lord. And chapters 6-8 and in particular, I went over them and I read them today again. And Michael, if I could, can I read chapter 6? It's not real long because sure. It is some, it's just an awesome chapter. And so anybody that wants to follow along. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are ye ignorant that we are, or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, woo-hoo, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Praise you, Jesus. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. Yea. Amen. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he liveth unto God. Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We are dead unto sin, alive unto God. Amen. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we say? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye were, you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. But when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit then had ye at that time in the things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I'm going to jump over to 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's a good chapter. I like that one. Kind of keeps you straight, doesn't it?
Well, it just really, really makes you, I mean, it just, to me, it speaks a lot of faith and grace, you know, and in showing you that you're, you know, it's all about believing that you're free from sin, you know? So, and you know, and then, you know, chapter 7, you know, says, you know, the good that I would do, I don't do, but the evil that I don't want to do, I do. And, but there's no good thing in me that is in my flesh, you know, but he will deliver us from the body of this death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Missy. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I think, go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Michael, I'm going to have to bow out. I'm going to hit the sack, I think. Sorry.
Okay. All right, so, it's okay. Bless you, brother.
But thank you, Missy. That was good. That was very good. So I'll see everybody Thursday. All right?
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bless you, Pat.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or praise report or would like to talk about something, comment on something? Yeah, Diane, go ahead.
Well, the Lord kept the door open, so I went to the Bible study with my husband on Saturday night. Actually, it was quite good. There was a new couple there who it was only our second time to go, but there was a new couple there that were really, I guess you'd say needy at this time, very needy. And it was really good. We had prayers of deliverance and I was able to give a few testimonies and it was going really well for about 2 hours. And then we all sat down at the table to eat for another two hours and that's when I really got to exercise a tongue fast, because two of the couples were our age and somehow we get way down the road talking about things of the old man and the old days and you know, the temptation is really there to jump in, you know, talking about old rock groups and this and that and you know, and you just, and it's like for a long time the Lord just kept saying shut up. don't say it. So I felt like it was a good experience, and it was a good I had just been reading what has been shall be. And so I had just been reading that chapter about and talking about the spiritual fast. And so I felt like the Lord gave me the opportunity that night to practice what I had just been reading. So it worked out really well. We stayed too late because our car was blocked in, but I felt it just turned out good, so I wanted to thank all of you for your prayers. That's it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, I believe last Thursday we got to talking about oneness, Trinity, or something else. And I guess we can talk about that tonight a little bit. Does anybody want to start off with anything that they learned over the weekend about the oneness Trinity or something else as to what the Word says about it? I'll say this much. I went through the Gospels in the red portion and I found out that I cannot understand how the oneness doctrine even got off the ground. There are so many, most of the scriptures that the Lord talks about the Father, just I don't understand the oneness at all. Did anybody else go through the scriptures and see about the oneness doctrine or the Trinity doctrine? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I can tell you from experience, and Diane can probably tell you too, how their scriptures got twisted, because now you want to hear something really screwy. Both of us were taught Trinity and oneness. Now try that on for size. Exactly. That's how twisted and convoluted stuff we were taught. Anyway, the oneness got, the Lord told, who was that? Was it Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's one scripture that they use. And also in Isaiah 9, they used where it says Everlasting Father. That's another scripture that they've twisted to use as to say that. I'm trying to think what else.
How did they explain who Christ was praying to? Why would he's praying if he was the Father? Why would he pray? Hello.
I you know, you want to hear something really screwy, and I think I've probably told you all this before. I know you've definitely heard me say it, Michael, and Diane will be like, oh yeah, I remember that saying. It's just these doctrines that were made up, and they have these things and all these things supersede. It was more focused on what was taught by a particular teacher than the actual scripture. But they had this saying that Jesus was the process consummated triune God.
Run that by again.
they taught that Jesus was the process consummated triune God.
Okay, I guess.
And I'm gonna say something here, because once in a while I'll hear someone say something about this ministry, and that they partake of it, and I'm gonna warn you, you're best off not even touching it because it's so tainted. I don't know if anybody is, but it's Living Stream Ministry, and you want to stay away from it.
Amen.
And is that stuff,
the one you were speaking of?
Yeah, and Witness Lee, you just want to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. I still don't understand how they how they can.
It's just crazy. It's just they're so twisted. It's just so twisted. I can't even completely. I can't even explain it to you anymore, just because I've been out of it so long. I don't even want to think about how to explain how they explained it, because it's just, it's nuts.
I know. But, most of the scriptures that are in red, where Jesus is talking, and he talks about the Father as his Father. And he does like his Father tells him to do. And so what you're telling me, this the oneness people, or this oneness slash triune, whatever, I don't know how you even get that, but
I know.
They, how do they explain that, that part? I don't understand that. Don't know. Yeah.
But I just, what came to me was his, I don't know how much Diane's husband believes of the screwy doctrine that we were taught, but I know Merle still believes it. And so I just want to pray for both of them concerning that. Father, just ask you to deliver them from these doctrines, the demons, Lord, the oneness and the Jesus only oneness and the Trinity, Lord, and just open their eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. Give them the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of you that they see in your word, Lord, that what was taught was is not the truth, Lord. And Lord, you showed me that with Merle, that's so messed with his what's bad about it is that it messes with their perception of the Father. Basically, there's you know, it's the only Jesus and there's no Father, and it's important that they see you, God, as their Father. And I know especially for Merle, because he had he didn't have very good experience with his own father, and he doesn't understand you that way, Lord. And there's a whole lot of things that come into that, Lord. And I just ask you to open his eyes and deliver him from it, Lord, so that he can have the relationship with you, and come into that understanding and be right with you. And you know, be delivered from rejection and condemnation and all those spirits, amen. Lord, I just thank you for freeing him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this, y'all. If somebody's got an explanation, knows more about oneness than I do, let me know. Enlighten me. For it's one of the first verses that I learned as a child. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world would be saved through him. He that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can somebody explain how the oneness came about when they see a verse, those verses like that? Does anybody know any more about the oneness than I? I don't know it much about it. Go ahead, George.
I just think that around the turn of the last century, there were so many of these, I guess they had kind of a Masonic background, but you got your Jehovah's Witness, your Seventh-day Adventist, so many of these corruptions of who Jesus is came on the scene in Christianity, and I think they just never got beat back. They just overwhelmed people who were, I don't know how to explain it myself, but I've studied them out and how they pervert. You know, it all comes down to, like Galatians says, about all these, who do they say that Jesus is, I guess, is the thing. Like you were saying, there's plain scripture that is, you know, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort." I mean, there's so many that separate them and explain who they are, but they take one or two scriptures, and Jesus says, you know, the Father and I are one, but then he says we are one in them also. I think it's just what they want to believe. It's like 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm with you. I'm kind of lost in what the lure of it is, but it's such a strong deception for those that just choose. I think it's, there's something about diving in and thinking they've got some kind of new thought or new message, and the pride puffs them up and they get beyond grace, and then they follow teachers and they stay beyond grace because they just become a twice made son of hell practically, because they really are not, they'd rather hold on to doctrine and fight than they would find out what Christians can agree on. There's a gentleman, a black gentleman, Geno Jennings, and he teaches so many things right as far as straightening out people and crucifying the flesh and modesty in the black community. And he's got hundreds of churches probably that he's raising up, but he's so hardcore oneness that it's just like, how can you even get close to it to come into agreement with anything? Because it's not, it turns it into a different Jesus, a different Father. It's those, you know, there's some, it's going to take deliverance. That's why I keep coming back to that. It's going to take deliverance, just like David got delivered from oneness.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, it's going to take just a spirit, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And there's not going to be no fighting, because we've already won. It's just going to be come out and let my people go type of scenario. And thank God that we know the truth and we know where the power of God is. And I guess it's just keeping your spiritual, you know, discerning of spirits is another gift that I think we need, because when we see that kind of stuff on people, we need to be ready for the battle and be ready to set them free and pray and plead the blood of Jesus, whatever it's going to take. It's a lot more dangerous than it's being addressed right now, but God's going to straighten everything out.
Amen.
So we might as well anticipate. I think going to the root and praying against the root of, like you said, where did this stuff come from? And you look at the 1890s, there's a bunch, 1880s, in that area, right after, you know, there was a Great Awakening right before the Civil War. Mm. And then there was a period of time when the patriotism and that spirit of whatever, the leaven of Herod probably, but just that nationalistic spirit created a separation in the body. And I believe most of the leaders in those groups, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, there's a lot of Eastern Spiritism that came through the Masonic groups. There's a lot of occultic influence that introduced error into the church, and they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, and really took Christianity in America for a ride. And I think going to the root of that and praying against it, we will uncover those spirits that are still trying to rule and reign over helpless sheep. So that's what I got on that.
Amen. Well, I think the key there is that religious spirit that they get, like David was talking about, that'll blind you to the truth. That religious spirit will blind you to the truth. And that's got to be the key to the whole thing. When they receive that doctrine, that spirit enters in. And just like his buddy said, you know, he was praying hard for David, because David was in such error. He knew he was in error until the Lord lifted him up off the ground, you know, off the floor, and shook him around there.
It's a pride thing is what I'm keying in on. I think God's telling me it's just those little things of people wanting to elevate themselves with a teaching to be, you know, smarter, wiser, more spiritual. That religious spirit, like you're saying, it gives them pride, and God resists the proud. And when he's resisting you, boy, it's hard to get back to him if you don't get whacked. I know I've got some Jehovah's Witnesses in my family, and this time of year, all they want to talk, you know, they slyly try to slide in. Oh, we're studying Jesus and what he said to do and to memorialize him. And I'm thinking, they're talking about a dead God. They're memorializing like he ain't around no more, and it breaks my heart.
I know.
It's the most pitiful thing you've ever seen, to see millions of people try to gather together to be counted, and none of them have, not one of them in those stadiums has hope that they are sealed by God and saved.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
Since you've had some experience with Jehovah's Witness, now correct me if I'm wrong, according to their belief, they only believe that 144,000 of them going to heaven, right?
They believe that unless you work in the Brooklyn building there, that's where the 144,000 are, and they had to be alive in 1975 or whenever it was, back to one of their prophecies. Basically, you can work and work and work to try to be in a different class, but I think unless you worked in the headquarters, that's, you know, I think that's what this whole stadium field coming together is all about, is counting themselves and trying to figure out who the 144,000 are in their group. So if one falls away, they can try to figure out who the one that's going to replace them is. And then the rest of them, the only hope the rest of them have is that they will go through tribulation and earn a spot in paradise or something for 1,000 years. And they still don't know till the end if they're going to make it through that, if they're going to fail by the end of that. I mean, I really don't know deeply what their core beliefs are, but I've been studying up on it lately, and you might know who James White is, that bald fellow that does a lot of apologetic work with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. He's really he's actually debated a Jehovah's Witness elder or something, and the kid came at him. They both went at each other for a long time, and I think within a year that kid left the Jehovah's Witnesses, at least.
Praise God.
Amen. That's why they tell them, don't ever debate, don't watch a video. You know, they really quarantine them and pressure them and brainwash them. And but
well, thank God
for sanctifying influences, because the blood of Jesus is more powerful than any error and demon. And you know, this is a time where darkness abounds, that grace much more abounds. So I think I just need to pray that, Lord, during this time when the Jehovah's false witnesses are in such dire, they're spending so much energy trying to convince themselves to stay in bondage that, Lord, you are pouring out your spirit on all flesh and you are having a witness amongst them that is undeniable, and that, Lord, you are setting the captives free, the ones that are supposed to come out of that group, that you're going to demolish the error, and the name of Jesus and who Jesus is will be known in the earth. And Father, I thank you that for your true children that are praying for their loved ones that are in those groups, that it's going to be much easier to get them out than they think. And Lord, I just thank you for grace unto repentance. I thank you for freedom and light and life. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are much more long-suffering and abundantly merciful. And Lord, I magnify you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Okay, I'm going to get Missy first. She's been having her hand up a long time. Then I get Leon, then I get Joe, and then I get Sue. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay.
Quickly now.
George, you hit the nail on the head. It's pride. Yeah. It is. Because I was thinking, I was sitting here and I wanted to say the things that you said. And this has been my experience and Diane and Sue both, all three of us have been in this. All three of us can tell you this, that, you know, we used to go to these trainings and we would get these outlines, and more focus was put on these outlines and speaking these outlines. Yeah, some of it would be the word, but more, and plus there was this Bible that was called the Recovery Bible. And it's not the Recovery Bible that a lot of you've all heard of. It's strictly a Bible that was done for this group. Anyway, and more focus was put on reading the footnotes than the scriptures. And which were basically brainwashing, indoctrination. And I mean, seriously, that's how strongly I feel about it. I was going to say something.
No, it's not thus saith the scriptures, just thus saith the footnotes.
Well, they would use scripture, but they would twist how they would apply them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there was this high-minded terminology, you know, we got it, you know, that basically like every denomination would say, they'd say they weren't a denomination and they would criticize denominations and say they weren't a denomination, but they were, you know, we got it all. we know it all. We got God's blueprint, you know, and seriously, and it's horrible. And you know, it's a pride. You get sucked into, you know, wanting, you know, the point of making these things and teaching these things and having this different high-minded terminology, your way of explaining things, like the example that I gave you, was a way of getting people to follow you. You know, of course, everybody wants to think that they're you know, being taught the truth, and it's like being manipulated and into believing that that's what you're being taught, you know, and it's like, you know, that you were being taught the truth. It's so messed up. It's so messed up. You know, when I first started meeting with this group, there was this group on a whole, the leader of this group had a habit of suing other Christians. And not long after I started meeting, this one brother brought up to me about this one lawsuit. And there was this book about this lawsuit and so on and so forth. And it was all about, you know, convincing that you're right for, they were right for doing this lawsuit. And, you know, and I was a fairly young Christian, and the Lord's really over the years, especially since I've came, well, actually since I've come to UBM, has really taught me to don't ever follow, it doesn't matter who it is, how much older you think they are, more mature you think they are, when you see the word say something and they tell you something contrary to the word, you stick with the word. I've had to repent, I don't know how many times, when, you know, because when, you know, when they brought up about this whole lawsuit thing and trying to condone it and so on and so forth, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, it says in 1 Corinthians 6 that you're not supposed to sue your brother and sister. You're not supposed to go to law. You're supposed to straighten out your situations between each, you know, yourselves within the church, and not go to secular government and all. And but I didn't say anything. And, you know, and I want to, you know, I've even had experience, and this wasn't, like, I know one time I was asking David to help me out with something. And he told me, well, do this. And I'm like, no, I can't do that, because even though it wasn't written in the word, I know what the Lord had told me about something, that not to do that. So I'm like, no, David, I can't do that. I said, can you help me out here? Can you do such and such for me? I can't do that, you know? And, you know, before, there was another time, a situation where David said to me, you know, I was asking him about something, and he said, we'll do such and such. And even though the Lord had told me not to, because I thought, you know, I held David up higher than I should have, I did what he told me to do, and I shouldn't have. It wasn't that he told me to do anything wrong. It's hard to explain, but for me, I knew what the Lord had told me, and I thought it was all right, and the Lord had to correct me on it. He said, don't even, you know, put David above me. You know, it wasn't something in the scripture, but it was something that the Lord had spoken to me personally. No, I don't want you to do that, you know, or handle this situation a certain way. And so then I had another opportunity come back around, you know, another different situation. I'm like, you know, and David says, we'll do this. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. You know, can you help me out here? Can you do this such for me? You know, I can't do it. And he's like, okay, you know. So, you know, I'm like, yay, thank you, Lord. I overcame, you know. And that's just a lot of, you know, my experience with this kind of thing, you know. You know, it's just awesome how, you know, the Lord's teaching me to overcome, and it's taken a lot of going around the mountain, you know, but, you know, here lately, the Lord's really been teaching me and giving me the grace to overcome and to follow Him and not man, and know what the Lord's told me personally, and just to stick to it. And it's awesome. And I just like to encourage y'all in doing that, you know. Amen. So that's my take on the whole, you know, why people follow people. You know, they want to think, you know, it's pride in themselves. It's pride in the leader wanting people to follow them, and it's pride in people wanting to think that they're right. And they set aside the scriptures, and they don't check into the scriptures enough for themselves, you know? So.
Amen. Yeah, you're right, Missy. You got to follow what the Lord tells you rather than what man tells you. I'll tell David about that. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding you, Missy. Let's see, who was next? Leon, go ahead. Thank you, Missy. That was good. Help me.
Well, I can't address things that Missy talked about or that George talked about, but I did have another scripture that would refute the oneness doctrine and so forth. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. If you guys want to get to it, I'll take just a second. And he's talking about the resurrection. This is Paul talking about the resurrection of Christ and turning the kingdom over. And 1 Corinthians 15, 28 says, "And when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son of Man also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all." So that's saying that Jesus is going to turn the kingdom over back to the Father, and that he himself will be subjected to the Father, because the Father is the one that did all things, that subjected all things unto him in the first place. And then so that God, not Jesus, but God can be all in all. So that refutes the oneness doctrine and the Trinity.
All right. Amen. Paul talks about it. John the Baptist talks about it.
Right.
Okay. Who was next to see? As you, Sue? No, Joe. Joe, you go ahead. I'll get back to you here, Sue, in just a minute.
No, I got two things. I was, I'm glad you brought that up, George, about that turn of the 1890s or so, about the time of the Great Awakening. I forget where I heard it. I think it was back in Bible college, a Church of Christ Bible college, and he said something, the professor, I forget which class it was. I mean, this is another time, but it really piqued my curiosity. It really kind of surprised me at the time, but no, you're right. During that time, you had folks like George Whitefield, Wesley, all these preachers who are, just these men of God who were during this great spiritual awakening, in America. And then it was said that, there was George Whitefield's preaching. I don't remember the exact time, but I think it was this professor said, there was one individual, he's a major individual. He heard the preaching of George Whitefield, and he kind of looked at it and thought it was a bunch of rubbish. And then he turned his back and just, went off. And he said, and I think he told the class, who is it? He said, Joseph Smith. So, the founder of Mormonism. Yeah, that's a great example. All these little cults and, these major errors. I mean, today that Joseph Smith was one of them. He heard the preaching of George Whitefield. And were you talking about, George, I think you said with the JWs, you talking about the Watchtower Society? That's their headquarters? Yeah, I've seen numerous documentaries of former, JWs or just people, exposing them. And yeah, that's the main headquarters is the Watchtower Society, where the elders are. I don't think I've ever heard that with the 144,000. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah. But we're kind of talking about oneness. If you swing the pendulum the other direction, I mean, as a former Roman Catholic, I grew up in accepting the Trinity. Believing that there was all three, as they say, co-equal, co-eternal, co-existing. three beings, but you know, I mean, I, after listening to the oneness, you know, or a Trinity teaching here, just, I mean, it really opened my eyes about things. I mean, I hadn't quite settled it, and I just, you know, the Trinity was another doctrine I just kind of blindly accepted. I thought, well, okay, yeah, I mean, you know, this, my church talks about it, you know, so it must be what the Bible teaches. You know, just the attitude Missy was talking about, you know, and just, I mean, tell us to avoid of listening to a man over the scriptures. You know, that's exactly what I did. I would just listen to any individual who I thought was wise, or, you know, well, they sound wise, or they seem wise, so they must be right. And, but I guess, I mean, the thought occurred to me, I was listening to the second part today, and Andrew or Dave or whichever, I mean, could probably shed some more light on this. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thought came because I was thinking, well, you know, they say God and, you know, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are co-equal. They're all equal beings. You know, there's no difference. Or even Denny, I mean, as a former Catholic, you know, but I guess the thought occurred with Matthew 24:36, you know, where it says no one, not even the angels, you know, when basically talking about Jesus' return, but the Father. So I guess, I mean, well, I'm trying to think exactly how I want to word my thought there, or even somebody else, you know, I mean, I never studied out the Trinity and really understood it for what they taught, but, you know, I guess the thought came, how can they be co-equal? If, well, only the Father knows when the Son is going to return, you know, for his own. So how on earth can you say that all of them are co-equal? Well, or maybe I'm not even speaking, you know, about co-equal. I mean, I guess I'm not speaking in the sense of what they mean. But that thought kind of came to mind, you know. What about Matthew 24? Was it Matthew 24:36? Yeah, you know, one of the major verses they use, saying that, you know, we'll have – well, I forget the exact verse, you know, a lot of those denominations use. But, yeah, Matthew 24:36, for those who are not sure what it says, you know, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So I guess the thought that kind of arised out of that was, well, how could they be co-equal? So, I mean, Andrew, or, I mean, David, I don't know if that makes any sense. I mean, I mean, know if you guys even remember that as Catholics, you know, did they teach that, how could they be co-equal? That didn't really kind of, you know, I mean, now that I think about it, you know, I just thought that just seems impossible, you know? So if that makes sense, you were going to say something, Dave?
I was just going to say they won't try to argue with you on it because they're not sure about it themselves, so they'll avoid the conversation. But they're basically given the impression that if you don't believe this, that you're kind of being apostate. You're running up there with not being a believer, and you're going to sacrifice your salvation. And, you know, they think that Trinity understanding is the only thing, one of the other things that save you along with everything else. So they kind of push it to that direction. So it puts fear in people to challenge it. You know, if they do challenge it, they'd rather just accept it rather than try to figure it out, because they think if they figure it out, that might, you know, like anything else, it might jeopardize their salvation somehow.
Amen. Amen. We'll get into the Trinity here in a little bit. Sue, did you have something you wanted to?
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking of the oneness, and I was thinking of John 17, that chapter that Jesus is talking about the oneness and with the Father, and he's talking about he wanted the disciples to be one with him and the Father as they are one, as he and the Father are one. I mean, I can go to that scripture if you want, those scriptures, if you want me to read them. But, you know, if, you know, like the scriptures talk about Jesus being the head and we're the body, right? If if we're the body, then we should be walking, we should be doing exactly what he wants us to do. I mean, I look at this as a physical body in a sense where, you know, your mind tells your body what to do and it just does it automatically. It's not separate from it, but if it didn't do it automatically, it would be spastic. It would look like somebody with a cerebral palsy that's got it really bad, that doesn't know how to move its body. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And, you know, it's a covenant. We have a covenant with God, but we got to know that we can't have a covenant, good covenant with him if we're not one with him. You know, there's another scripture that came to me was Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed in his death. And there's a few more after that, but I was thinking to know him is to follow him, is to do what he wants. And that means go through all this process. To me, it's like, it makes me think of a husband and wife too. When a husband and wife come together, they are one flesh. You know, when we come together with God through Christ, we become one with him in the spirit. The more we learn, I mean, this is what I'm thinking, you know, and you have to, you know, if this doesn't sound right, just let me know. But when we become one with Christ, you know, we get into his presence and we feel one with him. But that's not enough. We got to do more. We got to be more with him. And that's getting his word in us, which makes me think of John 17 again, because Jesus is talking about, can I read the scriptures? If that's okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to start at, let's see.
You're not going to read two or three books, are you?
No, just not all of 17 either, but.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and just I was just pondering on these one sections in here. Okay, I'll start at 8. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they receive them, and truly understand that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I've been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. How do we get one oneness there? By having his attributes, having his you know, like you said, the when we're in his, when in his name, we're in his person, his attributes. Verse 12, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy. May have my joy.
Better light.
Made full.
In themselves.
In themselves, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world or to bring them from the evil one, or to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For they asked, for their sakes, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing. Lord, help me. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but those who believe in me through their word, that they may be all one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and I loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. That's where I see the oneness. Like what, even with Philippians, what Philippians says about to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. How can we be one with him if we don't understand him?
Amen.
We have to be connected. Be connected to him to be able to follow, like what I want my hand to do, that he does, that he's able to direct my, you know, like just like my mind directs my hand to do what it wants, what I want it to do. We got to be the same. That's the oneness. We're connected. And we're going to do what's right. I don't want my hand to go somewhere else and try to walk in my foot, try to with my fingers or my toes like fingers. That's, you know, that's not the way God made me. But anyway, I don't know if you can understand what I'm trying to say about the connection with the body, the human body and the brain, and how the brain acts on our parts. If we're one with Christ, we're going to do just automatically what he's directing us as a body to do. That's what I get out of that.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was just wondering, Arsu, are you saying that you believe in the oneness doctrine?
I don't know what you mean by that. I'm just saying what.
She's trying to understand oneness for what she sees in the scriptures for how it applies with the gospel, not the oneness doctrine.
Okay.
She's talking about one in spirit. Okay.
Yeah. Can I say something else here? Okay, Jesus only oneness. You got to. There's the oneness, and then there's the Jesus only oneness. Jesus only oneness is the issue here. And
we are just
about. I know when I started understanding that was wrong, I started and even Merle asked me, you know, or made a comment about, you know, praying to the Father, and in this group we only prayed to Jesus. We only Jesus or God, but never the Father. And I had to explain one time. I had this conversation with Merle about the, you know, they literally teach that. Okay, what hit me earlier is this saying that I said: Jesus is the process consummated triune God. It hit me. The Lord showed me how it is. They use that phrase to teach the oneness and the Trinity both. Basically, they're saying I can't explain the details of it because it's so convoluted, that Jesus went through this process and coming from heaven to earth and dying and going back to heaven and all this other stuff, that he was went through a process that he is now the Father, basically in so many words, in a sense, saying that he's the Godhead, Jesus is it, and it's crazy.
You know, that begs to ask the question, Missy.
The Father, when, Son, and Holy Spirit are all in one in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? That's how the whole Trinity thing comes in. It's crazy. It's weird. So
when Jesus says the Father is greater than I, what happens? They gloss over that one, I expect.
Well, because they still try and say, well, even though he says that, you know, he's literally he's the Father, you know.
That's just one of the mysteries of God.
Huh?
That's just one of the mysteries of God.
Exactly. And that was a word that was used so much, is this word mystery. I am dead serious.
I don't doubt it.
Diane can tell you.
Mystery. How do they explain it when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist and he came out of the water and the dove came upon him and the Father said, this is my Son. You know, he
that was one of the great.
I mean, his voice came out and you know, he glorified his Son, are they saying Jesus, like, as a ventriloquist, he threw his voice out there?
Okay. See, that was before. See, that was before Jesus died and he was buried and resurrected and then ascended to the Father. When he ascended to the Father, I think was the consummation of this three-in-one God being in Jesus, and there's only Jesus now. I mean, serious.
Somebody didn't have nothing to do on a weekend to sit there and think up some kind of religion.
Exactly. It's having a big head and getting someone and getting people to follow you.
You know, that's one of the things, Missy, that I found out early on in my walk with Christ. I went to a camp meeting, UPC are big on a camp meeting. I went to a camp meeting. I got this big, pretty little postcard in the mail. I just became a Christian. I said, oh, man, that sounds like something I can go to and have a lot of fun, you know. And if anybody's ever been through North Little Rock on I-40, going east, it'll be on the right. Going west, it'll be on the left. There's two great big old churches, buildings there. And that's a UPC church. Well, that was the one they had the camp meeting at. And I went up there, and the only place I could find to sit was up in the balcony. And, boy, it was some of the best music I'd ever heard, man. It was great. Had an orchestra symphony almost, you know, right there. Man, everything was cool, and everybody was speaking in tongues. I said, man, this is awesome. You know, I'm the Baptist boy. I don't know nothing, but I'm checking this stuff out. And then the preacher got up there. And what I noticed right off the bat, criticism, judgmental attitude right away. And I had to get up and leave. It was just that this guy is this. You can't, you know, and it, criticizing, judging and all of that stuff. I finally got up and left. The guy said, where are you going, man? It's just now starting. I said, I got to go. I got to go. And that's what I experienced that one time, was criticism and judgmental. It's quite large. I'm talking about, it was probably 6,000 or 7,000 people there, you know.
Well, you know,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Sue.
Just reading John 17, he's talking to the Father. Does that mean he's talking to himself? Why does he say we? You and I are one, Father.
Well, that's just one of the mysteries of God.
Yeah. But, you know, Michael, you saying about that, all that criticism and everything, that's exactly what we were taught. We were taught that we're everybody else was criticized and put down. All the other Christians were criticized and put down, and, you know, they're apostates, and everybody else was apostate but them, and it was all about putting everybody down and lifting up yourself and what you believe and what you teach. It's pride. It's pride. And I had to be delivered of that. And it's like, you know, even, I mean, seriously, it's like, Lord, please, you know, anybody out there listening to this, don't think that just because you receive teachings from UBM that you are it.
That's right.
Right.
No, she's teaching faction, David. I just have to give him a call.
But I'm serious. Please. You know, no.
Well, that's true. You better go about
God. What makes you right with him is following the scriptures, not what you know in your head. Is it in your heart? Are you following it? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I mean, how many times have we all heard David say, don't follow a man? Don't listen to what a man, you have no need of anyone teach you. You have the word. What are you doing? You have the word. The Spirit will teach you.
That's right.
Now, he does kind of make a little disclaimer there, you know, in the respect that, you know, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. How you know if someone's following Christ if you don't look at the word yourself?
Right. That's right.
Well, if you listen to David, he always tells you, don't believe what I say. Get the word of God and go through that.
Right.
You know? Yep.
And anyway.
You know that if I could, you know, the where we went, you know, towards the end.
Hey, Sue.
I'm sorry.
Dave's been trying to say something here for quite some time. Can I let him? Then I'll come right back to you.
Well, this is just a little point about the
okay, go ahead.
Church where we were at, the gathering we were at, I should say. My husband and I had got to the place where we realized that this is Laodicea, because they thought that they had it all. And that's where pride came in, you know, and they think they had it all, and they didn't. They only had it outwardly in the brain. They didn't have it in the heart. Because they knew you had to be changed. They knew you had to, you know, they knew a little bit about exchange, but they didn't know how to do it or anything like that. Okay.
Amen. Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
I would say this is what the Lord kind of gave me today as we were starting out, and I didn't know what he was talking about, of course, at first, because I didn't realize this was where the conversation was going to go. And I think it kind of speaking about this stuff, and it's going to cover all the isms if you listen to this. This is Jeremiah 7, and I'm going to go from 21 to 29. If anybody wants to take the time, look it up. Jeremiah 7, 21 to 29. I'm reading from the New Heart Bible. It's like the ASV, it just uses a little more modern language on some things, that's all. But it comes from the ASV. And 21 starts, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. All right, sounds like it's starting out good, right? Then he says, 22, for I did not speak to your fathers nor command them in that day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. So now he's starting to criticize them about what they're doing. Hey, wait a minute, I didn't tell you to do this. But this thing I commanded them, saying, listen to my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. So he says, tune in and listen to what I have to say. But what's he say? But they did not listen or turn their ear, but walked in their own counsel and in the stubbornness of their evil heart and went backwards and not forwards. This is what our isms are doing. And they're not listening to God. Since that day your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, to this day I have sent you all my servants to prophets. People have been trying to talk. The prophets have been talking, addressing. daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not listen to me, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff. Have you tried to correct these people? Where'd you get, you know, they had a stiff neck. They ain't going to hear you. They're not listening. They did worse than their fathers. You speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. You shall tell them, this is the nation that has not listened to the voice of the Lord their God, nor received instruction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Now he's telling them, cut off your hair, throw it away, take up a lamentation. He's saying, repent on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected, forsaken the generation of his wrath. So we have people here and all these isms, and they're not listening to God. They're doing their own thing, and they're getting stiff-hearted. You try to correct them, they aren't hearing you. They're tuning you out. It happens all the time. I get it here, too. You start talking, they want to tune you out quick, you know. It's just they're doing their own thing. Their own burnt offerings. They're not listening to God. They're not trying to listen to God. They think they already got it figured out. That's what I think he's saying here. Somebody else has something else they want to put in there, that'd be fine.
Amen. That's the truth. Trinitarians the same way. A lot of them are.
All the isms.
Okay, let's talk about what time is it? Okay, we got enough time to start in on Trinitarian. How do we refute the Trinity doctrine if you're talking with someone about trying to explain the real or true relationship between Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit?
You know, years ago, I used to listen to David Wilkerson when he was speaking there at the Times Square Church. And one thing that he would do on a regular basis was pray directly to the Holy Spirit. And he said a lot of people were uncomfortable with that, but he said, Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and we're, you know, I'm going to pray to him. And he did it on a regular basis, but I was always a little uncomfortable with that. I just didn't seem cool. Not that I don't respect him, but I learned a lot from him. But you know, there's, you can't just buy everything that everybody's into.
No. One of the scriptures I came across was in John 15. Verse 26. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, where? From the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. So, there's one scripture right there. It tells us that the Spirit comes from the Father, proceedeth out of the Father, from the Father. So the Holy Spirit comes from the Father. He's the Father's Holy Spirit that comes out. And that's the one. Go ahead, Tim. It's hard to see. I've got these little bitty squares up there on this little laptop.
It wasn't real important, but I wanted to throw this out there about sure. The oneness. And that is, in, you know, 2 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about the serpent. As the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and purity that is toward Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or he receive a different spirit, which we did not receive, or a different gospel, which we did not receive. So it's the enemy working, you know, to throw as many astray as he can. And that oneness doctrine is part of it. And, you know, he's slipping in there acting like an angel of light, and he's not.
Amen. Amen. I don't know what the relationship between the Trinitarians and the one is. Which one's bigger? I don't know. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was going to tell you, we sing a song, Glorify Thy Name. I don't know if everybody's familiar with that, but it goes through, Father, I love you. I worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Then it talks about Jesus. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Then it talks about the Spirit. Glorify thy name in all the earth. And the scripture says that the Spirit is to glorify Jesus, not himself. That's the scripture you just read.
Yep.
Oh, he's supposed to glorify. If he's co-equal, how does he come to be glorifying Jesus? So that's just my take on it. I always sing that song differently than when I sing about the Holy Spirit. I sing glorify his name in all the earth.
Yes, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I remember that song. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, one of the things that helped me understand this really well was first understanding the relationship between Jesus and the Father, how that works out, how Jesus can be fully God, but at the same time, the Father is greater. Understand that relationship. Why is that? Why is Jesus not the same as the Father, which he's not? And then understand, well, who is the Holy Spirit? Where does that Spirit come from? Is it just a spirit by himself? No. What is the Holy Spirit? It's the Father's Spirit. It's said that a few times in the Gospels. So we know we have the Holy Spirit's God the Father himself, but it's his Spirit. How he manifests himself in the world, it's still God the Father, but it's his Spirit. It's in where he's at. He's trying to say, I have it all covered. I'm everywhere, basically. It's his Spirit. And now he's glorifying his Son because his Son did the work for him, right? You honor this. If you know the Son, you're going to know the Father, basically. And I'm just kind of ad-libbing. I could go find the scriptures. I'm being a little lazy. I'm not doing that right now. But so we know that Jesus is subservient to the Father, but what would make him fully God? And David did a good way explaining that, you know. Well, where did Jesus come from? Again, where did Jesus come from? The scriptures say he was the firstborn of all creation. There's a key. Where's that? What's that mean? What's that mean? How can he be firstborn of all creation? Well, apparently, before creation started, he had to be born. And that birth is a term that's used. It doesn't necessarily mean like birth, but it's similar to birth. It also means like created. Came forth from God. He says that in chapter 17 of I think it's in John. Doesn't he say that? He came forth from God. He says that twice, meaning it sounds like a birth. And then if we go to Proverbs 18, we talk about and see Jesus being created and then being alongside the Father with creation. So it's a very interesting relationship just to see that great dynamic, how that all works out. So just by understanding that dynamic relationship between the Father and the Son and understanding then how Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit is the Father's Spirit. And that's also explained very well in John and a few other places. So that helped me nail it down quite a bit right there to make it so I could accept as, especially when you come from a Trinitarian background or even a oneness background, you just have to sit back and say, well, what is the relationships here? How does this all work, really? And then if you start making it simple like that, where they just go with the word says, it works so much more beautiful. And you can see how they intertwine and how Jesus can be subservient to his Father. Well, he even called his Father God when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, Jesus had a God. It was his Father. So, anyways, I just wanted to shoot those off.
Yep, that's good. Go ahead, Joe.
I forget the verses that David brought up, or I think he did. He was saying that Jesus, well, that wasn't his name before. He was the Word. Well, I mean, there was the Word. And then, what was it, Michael talked to Mary, or no, it was it Joseph, you know, you'll name him Jesus. I think that's when it first was mentioned, you know, so he wasn't Jesus in the beginning, because David laid it out real well. I mean, God, we know him as being eternal, and, you know, he's always been in the eternity past, and then there was beginning, you know, in the beginning, you know, of time, when time started. And so, you know, that's when Jesus, I think you just said, Dave, that's when Jesus was created. I mean, that's, and that's something that really opened my eyes. I thought, wait a minute, I thought he always was, as the Trinitarians say, just like the Holy Spirit, you know? I mean, he always was. It's like, no, the Father always was, but Jesus was created, you know? And so, yeah, and I found out, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, he, you know, it was the Word. And we know John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's when, yeah, the Word took on a body, and then it became Jesus. So I thought, oh, interesting. So
his second birth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we have to work in twice, too. We have to have two births.
Amen. Okay. Yes, okay. Okay.
We have to that's why he resembles us. He has two births, and so do we.
In the beginning was the Word. The beginning of what? The beginning of time. Go ahead, Wade. You'll have to unmute yourself, brother.
I just started talking up a storm there, but I was thinking of the verse where it says, this day have I begotten thee, you know? And I never quite understood that verse where it said, where Jesus says of the Father, or the Old Testament, this in the Old Testament too, this day have I begotten thee. I don't remember the verse, but yeah. I wondered about it. You know, I've wondered about it. Who he's saying what day, and what day he's saying that, you know? It seems like he's saying it in the present, at the present moment that he were talking. That's all I have.
Yeah, okay. You know where that's, you didn't know where that scripture was. Okay, begotten. He was twice begotten, right? Created, and then he was begotten. To tip, type, and shout of us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're about out of time here. We can continue on with the Trinity View Thursday night. And anything else that comes up? Hi, Julie. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that like Missy said, we're not listening to man. We are always backing up what men say by your word. Your word is the standard by which we go with. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us this word. You've given us the true word of God. And it sets us straight when man tries to twist scriptures and get us into some kind of religion. We can go to that scripture now and find out what is the truth. Lord, we just thank you so much for that. And we ask, Father, that you continue that work in all of us. Continue to teach us and continue to show us these layers upon layers in your word of God that we can just spend eternity studying the Word of God. And Father, I thank you for a good time tonight, a good discussion on these things that have hindered a lot of people. And Father, we thank you that your scriptures will set me, people free from that religion, just like it set David free from that oneness doctrine. The Spirit went out of him after he decided to just go ahead and prove it by the Word of God. And that's when the Spirit left him. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody's going to get a good night's sleep tonight. And we're going to make it our one desire is to follow you, Lord, and to obey you. I know at times past we've stumbled here and stumbled there, but we know you have a lot of grace, and we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your faith in us keeps us on that right road. And I thank you for giving everybody the wherewithal to pray and to intercede for each other. Those things that we've been praying about, I know that you're going to answer these prayers. I know that you have already answered a bunch of prayers. And I thank you for that, Father. Be with us, guide us, lead us. Set a watch before our lips that we speak only as an oracle of God. Thank you, Father, for being our God. We love you and want a whole lot more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, folks.